Mountain State Mysteries contains adult content that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
All individuals mentioned in this episode are presumed innocent until proven guilty. I'm your host, Mark Covey.
And I'm Courtney.
And this is Mountain State Mysteries. The case we're covering today is one of the most requested ones we've ever had. It's the story of a woman who disappeared on the night of her son's first birthday party. A case where her family has never stopped fighting for justice. Of course, I'm talking about the disappearance of Brenda Gayle Lambert. I delved deep into a case I thought I already knew inside and out, but what I discovered was just the tip of the iceberg. I've always had questions, the same ones I'm sure many of you have, and I finally got to ask them. I sat down with Brenda's sisters, Christy and Patricia, and filmed our conversation, which you can watch on the Mountain State Mysteries YouTube channel, and trust me, you won't want to miss it. But first, let us share Brenda's story in a way we never thought we could, a layer deeper than anyone has covered it before. This is the case of Brenda Gayle Lambert. Brenda Gayle Lambert was born on December 26, 1969, to Adam Rowe and Mary Christian in Wilmington, West Virginia. Growing up, Brenda was the kind of person everyone loved to be around. In my interview with her sisters, Christy shared a memory of driving around with the windows down, blasting Bohemian Rhapsody, and headbanging like Wayne and Garth from Wayne's World. Christy also recounted a hilarious moment from their childhood. Around 3 a.m., when the whole family was fast asleep, Brenda woke everyone up, claiming a dog had been hit by a car and was lying in the road. Concerned, they all got up and went outside to look, but there was no dog and no Brenda. Little did they know, she was hiding behind a bush, waiting for the perfect moment to jump out with a water hose and spray them all. What started as a prank quickly turned into an unforgettable late-night water fight.
Brenda attended Bramwell High School, but dropped out at the age of 16. Around this time, she met 20-year-old Raymond Lambert, who worked with her brother Tim at a chicken plant. It's worth noting that Brenda was 16 when she began seeing Raymond, which is the age of consent in the state of West Virginia. Not long after they met, Brenda became pregnant with their daughter, Krista Dawn, a name she chose in honor of her sister, Christy. Brenda and Raymond were married in 1986 in a small courthouse ceremony.
The family lived on Windmill Hill in the small community of Bluewell, located in Mercer County, West Virginia. A few years later, the couple welcomed a baby boy, Raymond Jr., affectionately called Junebug, on July 26, 1991. In the months leading up to Brenda's disappearance, her relationship with Raymond had been on and off. In July of 1992, Brenda asked Raymond to leave, and he moved in with his parents on their 200-acre mountain property. It's been reported that Raymond had a tendency to lose control, which is said to have led to instances of domestic violence. Brenda had actually filed a report claiming that Raymond had held her against her will, put a gun to her head, and threatened to kill her. Before her disappearance, Brenda was seen with red marks around her neck. Her family believed it looked like as though she had been strangled, which is considered the ultimate act of control. On July 10, 1992, Brenda dropped the domestic violence petition she had filed against Raymond, allowing him to attend their son's birthday party. On July 26, 1992, Brenda was hosting their son's first birthday party with her entire family in attendance. As we mentioned, she even allowed Raymond and his family to come during the party. During the party, Brenda's family noticed that something seemed off. They could tell she was uncomfortable. You might be wondering, how could Brenda possibly feel uncomfortable at her own son's birthday party held in her own home? Well, the reason is her cousin Tammy Loveday decided to show up. Normally, having a cousin who just moved back to West Virginia at your party would be cause for celebration. But when that cousin is having an affair with your husband, it's a whole different story. Shortly before 8 p.m., the party began to wind down. Originally, it was planned for Brenda to watch the kids that night, but according to Raymond, she changed her mind. Other party attendees recalled a conversation where Raymond told Brenda, quote, "My mom's going to keep the kids for a couple of days," end quote. Brenda responded, quote, "No, she ain't. It's my son's birthday," end quote. Brenda warned Raymond that if he didn't keep quiet, she would reveal something about him and their family that could land them all in prison for the rest of their lives.
We know that Brenda changed clothes and asked a few family members to stay with her that night, but unfortunately, no one was able to. Raymond and his family were the last to leave the party, taking the children with them. According to Raymond, around 9 p.m., he called Brenda's mom. Brenda's mom mentioned that she would try to call Brenda later that evening to talk with her. On the morning of July 27th, Brenda's family gathered on their mom's front porch, worried because they haven't seen or heard from Brenda. Brenda's mom decided to send Patricia to check on her. Around this time, Tammy unexpectedly showed up at Brenda's mom's house, which was unusual since she rarely stopped to talk with them. When Patricia mentioned she was going to check on Brenda, Tammy offered to go along and got into the car with her. When Patricia approached Brenda's front door, she knocked softly, just in case Brenda was inside. When there was no response, Tammy said, quote, "I know a way in," end quote, and went around to the back of the house. Tammy climbed onto the house, opened a window, and let herself in. The odd thing was that Brenda's sister had no idea that this particular window was never locked. You can hear more about this and much more in Mark's interview with Christy and Patricia. Later that morning, Raymond's mom called him to let him know what was going on. He went to Brenda's house and noticed her car was still there. The doors were unlocked and the windows were slightly open. When Raymond went inside, he saw that the dishes from the night before were still sitting in the kitchen sink.
On Tuesday, July 28th, Raymond reported Brenda missing at 5:21 p.m. The investigation into Brenda's disappearance was assigned to Deputy W.O. Lawson. Since neither her family nor Raymond could reach Brenda, Lawson decided to try for himself. On Wednesday, July 29th, he went to her house, and there was still no answer. On July 30th, Lawson conducted a search of Brenda's home. Unable to contact Raymond for access, he had to crawl through the same window that Tammy and Brenda's sister Pat had to use earlier. Inside, Lawson observed that the downstairs was neat and clean, but the upstairs was in disarray. Clothes were scattered across Brenda's room, and the shorts she had been wearing on the night of the party were on the bathroom sink. When Lawson interviewed Brenda's neighbors, they all reported the same thing. None of them had seen Brenda since 5:30 p.m. on Sunday. I want to take a moment to discuss one important detail, the suitcase. Lawson reported finding a suitcase next to the door, stating, quote, "The suitcase contained not only clothing and shoes, but also toothpaste and a toothbrush," end quote. Here's why the suitcase matters. Brenda's sister, Pat, said there was no suitcase by the door when she entered Brenda's home. Before the investigation began, Christy mentioned that too many people were running in and out of the house, creating chaos. However, Pat said when it was just her and Tammy inside the house, the suitcase wasn't there.
This led everyone to believe that Brenda was planning to leave everything and everyone behind. However, if you listen to Mark's interview with her sisters, you'll hear their perspective on what they thought about this theory. On July 30th at 10 a.m., Brenda was scheduled to meet with an attorney to discuss a divorce. Brenda's mom still had important papers for the meeting at her house, which Brenda needed to pick up.
Later that day, Lawson was able to speak with Raymond over the phone, and they scheduled an interview for the following morning. Unfortunately, we only have a few fragments of this interview between Lawson and Raymond.
What time did the party start?
It started late. Trying to get everything fixed and stuff. And my wife, she made another tape of the little boy. We wanted him, you know, just to do what we wanted to do with it. And she waited until he was finished. I don't know, maybe 4 or 5, or maybe even later than that. I'm really not sure.
So the party was over or at? You and your mother was the last ones to leave? Or did your mother leave with somebody else, or?
No. My sister, my two sisters, was getting the stuff together. I was getting my clothes together, and then my little girl wanted to go. Let's see. It was me and the kids, and Mom was the very last ones to leave.
Okay. After you left, you took... Where did you go to when you left with your mom?
And that's where the interview ends. Did you notice how nervous Raymond appeared during this interview? Of course, anyone might be nervous in that situation, but there's a reason I'm highlighting it. You'll understand why later.
Like with many missing person cases involving a spouse, Raymond quickly became a person of interest. During his interview, Raymond mentioned a man named Mark Cook, who he claimed was Brenda's boyfriend. Interestingly, none of the documents previously referenced Mark Cook, and there's no history between Brenda and Mark other than the fact that they knew each other. However, there's no way to discuss Brenda's case without bringing up Mark Cook. We'll revisit him in just a bit. As the investigation unfolded, police discovered that Brenda had filed a domestic violence order against Raymond on July 7th, 1992. However, just 3 days later, on July 10th, 1992, Brenda called the police and requested that the petition be dropped, stating, quote, "We came to an agreement and settled the dispute between us," end quote.
On August 2nd, 1992, local newspapers, news stations, and radio outlets began reporting on Brenda's disappearance. Soon after, there were reports of sightings of Brenda in Mercer County. She was allegedly seen at a pawn shop in the local grocery store. However, all of these sightings were later dismissed as cases of mistaken identity. Unfortunately, after that, the case began to grow cold.
6 months later, another resident went missing. Mark Cook, the man Raymond claimed Brenda was dating, grew up in Bramwell, but moved to Florida in the 1980s. He returned to West Virginia in the 1990s and was living with his mother and her boyfriend in Bramwell. Mark's Florida driver's license had expired and he didn't have a car, so he relied on hitchhiking, getting rides from friends, or simply walking to places like Burger King. One night he disappeared. Mark was at Pedro's bar. Around 3 a.m., he was seen leaving the bar and walking towards the main road. He was never seen again. 4 days later, on January 18th, his mother's boyfriend reported him missing to the Mercer County Sheriff's Department. It's alleged that Mark had been involved in an argument while at Pedro's, though the details and the identity of the other party remain unclear.
On October 22nd, 1994, the headlines on the Bluefield Telegraph read, quote, "Disappearances still probed," end quote. In it, Daryl Bailey suggested that the disappearances might be connected. From that point on, the cases were linked. However, Brenda's family was certain that they weren't connected. 9 years passed before any new lead emerged. On February 14th, 2003, an unidentified female called the police, claiming that she overheard someone saying that both Brenda Lambert and Mark Cook were in a pond behind Cole Motors on Route 52. Bailey was able to get permission to search the property and drain the pond. The first attempt took place in April of 2003, with help from the Blue Whale Volunteer Fire Department. Unfortunately, due to water flowing into the pond, law enforcement came up empty-handed. A second attempt occurred in August of 2003, this time with the assistance of a diver who tried to search the pond. Sadly, this search also yielded no answers regarding the disappearance of Brenda and Mark.
Some believe that Brenda isn't in the pond, but rather somewhere on the Lambert property. In September of 2022, Brenda Gail Lambert was declared legally dead.
In March of 2023, Brenda's case was featured on an episode of Cold Justice. Unfortunately, it's not available to watch online at the moment, but we do have the key interviews for you. Kelly and her team were able to secure interviews with Bonnie, Tammy's mother, Tammy, and Raymond.
During Bonnie's interview, she was asked about Tammy being at the party. She responded, "Maybe an hour, and she came on down to my sister's, where I was at." We didn't see Raymond that night, and he calls about 11 p.m. that night wanting to know if we had heard from Brenda. She didn't take her car, no purse, no shoes, no ring, not nothing, and a woman ain't leaving without her car and purse. So Raymond called an hour before he showed up to her sister's house wanting to know where Brenda was. Kinda sounds like he was crafting his alibi. When Bonnie was asked what she thought when you couldn't get a hold of Brenda, she said, "I was worried, and Raymond's daughter told me, Daddy come up here and got Grandpa, and they was on and off the mountain almost all till daylight." And she was only 5 years old when she told me that. Bonnie was asked if Tammy thought Raymond killed Brenda. Tammy's too scared to ask him any type of thing. He hit Tammy upside the head with a gun. Tammy said he took her up the holler one time and he was beating on her. She got out and ran through the bushes until he calmed down because she was afraid he was going to kill her. But she finally left for good, and I was so glad when she got away from him. Think that saved Tammy's life.
During the Cold Justice episode, they also had one source who spoke to them that said Raymond didn't kill Mark Cook. Quote, "Raymond and two other people were standing around talking, and I think someone mentioned killing their woman, and someone said, 'Raymond, you know all about that, don't you?' Raymond said, 'Shut up. Don't be saying crap like that. I didn't have nothing to do with that. Daddy did it.' The person said, 'Well, if Daddy did it, you just might as well did it.' The source said Raymond walked off, and that was the end of the conversation. He also told them that he thought she was on Coldell Mountain, said they had a sawmill up there, and said they heard that they threw Brenda's body at the sawmill up there. Now, one interview I've been waiting to tell y'all about is Tammy's interview. Tammy said, quote, "I mean, yeah, I know y'all are thinking like, this is a married man and woman, here you come in the picture, and then you probably sit there and kill her over him and stuff. No, I'm not that type of person. I'd never hurt nobody over a man. They had problems way before I even came into the picture. I'm not making excuses for me, believe me. I'm living with it every day that I got with a married man," end quote. She said, "I remember one time Raymond telling me, he said that she was going to file for divorce, and there was no way that he was going to let her have the house or kids. Raymond was the type of man that what's his is his, and what's mine was his. At the time, I thought she actually ran off. But then, when things started going by, like her kids graduating and her mom passing, and she didn't come back, then I started thinking, well, she didn't run off." Tammy said she didn't ask Raymond any questions. "I was scared to death to ask him anything, because he was abusive. He would smack you. He would choke you. He would backhand me with his hand and black my eye. He was taking women to the house. I caught him at work with a hooker." When Tammy was asked if she tried to figure out what happened to Brenda, she said Raymond's sisters said that Raymond and his dad left the mountain that night and went to the sawmill. "I just remember him telling me, in the state of West Virginia, it's the law that you have to have a body to commit someone, which for one, that's not true." When asked if Tammy thought Raymond did it, Tammy said, quote, "I think he's capable of it, to tell you the God's truth," end quote. There was one thing mentioned in Tammy's interview that shocked me. She told Kelly and her team that when Raymond would lie, he would get restless. There was one interview that completely shocked me. Court, could you read Raymond's interview?
Yeah. So detectives went to talk to Raymond. He said he hasn't heard from Brenda. "When my kids grew up and they became teenagers, I would have hunted her up with everything I could just to say, 'Here's your turn. You take the teenagers now. I've had my half.'" He said he thought it was funny Brenda ran off, leaving the kids and him with no money. He said his marriage was like an on and off thing. Quote, "I married Brenda because I got her pregnant, and that's the only reason," end quote. He said on the day that she disappeared, quote, "She is you know, in a bad mood, end quote. When asked if he thought if her mood had anything to do with Tammy showing up and if he had already had a relationship with Tammy, he said, quote, I had sex with her a couple times before, end quote. He said nothing was hid from Brenda. He said him and Brenda were having sex at the time. Brenda went missing on a Sunday. He said the last time he had sex with her was on Friday. He said him and his parents were the last to leave the party because we had to go pick the kids up. Now, Tammy did say when Raymond lies, he gets restless and stretches, which when he was talking to the police, he started to get restless around this time. He said there was no domestic violence that the DVP was to keep him away from the house. He said he never choked, pointed a gun, or hit Brenda. When asked if his family still owned the sawmill, he went, that sawmill? No, that his brother lived up there. When asked if they could search the property for Brenda, he said it was overgrown and didn't look the same. Since Brenda's disappearance, her mother, father, and daughter have all passed away.
One thing that I truly admire about Brenda's family is that they haven't stopped searching for answers. Brenda's sister, Christy, has been actively working with the AWARE Foundation. It's been 32 years since the disappearance and murder of Brenda Gayle Lambert, and her case remains unsolved.
If you or anyone know any information about the disappearance of Brenda Gayle Lambert, please contact the Mercer County Sheriff's Department at 304-487-8364.
We'll be back with new episodes in February. If you find yourself enjoying Mountain State Mysteries, take a second to follow, like, download, and rate the show on your favorite podcast platform. It helps others find good West Virginia true crime podcasts.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook, all at Mountain State Mysteries.
Do you have a case you want us to cover? Send us an email at mountainstatemysteries304@gmail.com.
For the show notes, check out our website, MountainStateMysteriesPodcast.com.